The story is told of a very wealthy man who never had been known for his generosity to the church. The church was involved in a big financial program, and the church leaders resolved to pay this man a visit. When they met with the man one afternoon, they said that in view of his considerable resources, they were sure that he would like to make a substantial contribution to the program. "I see," he said. "So you have it all figured out, have you? In the course of your investigation, did you discover that I have a widowed mother who has no other means of support but me?" "No," they responded. They did not know that. "Did you know that I have a sister who was left by a drunken husband with 5 children and no means to provide for them?" "No," they said. We didn't know that either. "Well, did you know also that I have a brother who was crippled due to an automobile accident and can never work another day to support his wife and family?" Embarrassingly, they responded, "No, sir, we did not know that either." "Well," he thundered triumphantly, "I've never given any of them a cent, so why should I give anything to you?" Talking and hearing about money, tithing, giving to the church, often couched in that churchy term stewardship, proves to be difficult at times, if not most of the time. We Americans are very private, generally speaking, when it comes to matters of personal finance, which for one reason or another is particularly true when it comes to the matter of the intersection of personal finance and the ministry and work of the church. This is partly due to our particular cultural and societal views of money and wealth and privacy, but it is also, I think, a mark of a failing of the church for many years. Because you see, our biblical tradition is anything but silent and private when it comes to money and to wealth. And that is especially true of the biblical witness to Jesus' life and teachings. According to Howard Dayton Jr., writing for Preaching Today, Jesus talked an awful lot about money. 16 of his 38 parables were concerned with how to handle money and possessions. In the Gospels, an amazing 1 out of 10 verses, 288 in all, deal directly with the subject of money. The Bible offers 500 verses on prayer, less than 500 verses on faith, but more than 2,000 verses on money and possessions. And clearly, Jesus was not the last prominent preacher to touch on the subject. On this 500th anniversary of the Reformation, it seems appropriate to share some of the Reformers' thoughts on stewardship and the intersection of money and faith. Martin Luther, of course, he wrote, "People go through 3 conversions, their head, their heart, and their pocketbook. Unfortunately, not all at the same time." And this one of Luther I have hanging on a wall in my office. He writes, "I have held many things in my hands, and I have lost them all. But whatever I have placed in God's hands, that I still possess." And also, "A religion that gives nothing, costs nothing, and suffers nothing is worth nothing." Our great John Calvin wrote, "There cannot be a surer rule, nor a stronger exhortation to the observance of it, than when we are taught that all of the endowments which we possess are divine deposits entrusted to us for the very purpose of being distributed for the good of our neighbor. If we believe heaven to be our country, it is better for us to transmit our wealth thither than to retain it here, where we may lose it by sudden removal." Calvin further, "In our good works, nothing is our own. Let everyone regard himself as the steward of God in all things which he possesses." And lastly, from Calvin, "The only right stewardship is that which is tested by the rule of love." For a slightly more modern voice, perhaps more familiar to some of you, we hear from Billy Graham, who once said, "A checkbook is a theological document. It will tell you who and what you worship." And then, like he said, "Give me 5 minutes with a person's checkbook, and I will tell you where his heart is. Clearly, our faith has, or at least should have, something to say about our money. And conversely, our money often has something to say about our faith. Jesus knew this when he spoke regularly about the potential pitfalls and perils of money misused and misunderstood. In today's passage from Matthew, in the middle of his famous Sermon on the Mount, Jesus warns the people, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." First, Jesus warns those who would listen not to store up treasure where moth could consume. In those days, in that part of the world, a sign of someone's wealth was his or her clothing. Finer fabrics were hard to come by and could be quite expensive, and so also was the ability to store those garments properly, safely sealed away from the ravages of time and the elements, not to mention moths and other insects. And thus those garments could easily become ruined and worthless, a waste of money in the end. So Jesus warns against treasure that will not stand the test of time. Jesus also warned the people that rust may consume. The Greek word used here is brosis, which literally means an eating away. Nowhere else, interestingly enough, is it translated as rust. As we learn from Jesus' parable of the rich fool elsewhere, where the man builds more and more barns to hold his excess crops and then suddenly dies, it was a great temptation for wealthy landowners to hoard crops and to store them in great barns. Of course, those barns were not perfect, and all kinds of vermin and other critters could make their way in and ultimately destroy those crops, so that even that which was set aside for another day could easily be gone. And so Jesus warns against treasure that can be ruined or consumed. Finally, Jesus warned the crowds that thieves may break in and steal. The word translated break in here literally means dig through. In those days, homes were most often made of baked clay. Thus, thieves would literally dig through the walls of homes and other structures to steal whatever was inside. And so Jesus warns against treasure that is not secure and can be stolen away. So the answer, according to Jesus, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. But what is treasure in heaven? Those who would have heard Jesus speak these words first would have understood, as they were familiar with the phrase treasure in heaven. According to biblical commentator William Barclay, the Jews had a famous story about a certain king Monobaz of Adabin, who became a convert to Judaism. Monobaz distributed all his treasures to the poor in the year of famine. His brothers sent to him and said, "Thy fathers gathered treasures and added to those of their fathers, but thou hast dispersed yours and theirs." He replied to them, "My fathers gathered treasures for below. I have gathered treasures for above. They stored treasures in a place over which the hand of man can rule, but I have stored treasures in a place over which the hand of man cannot rule. My fathers collected treasures which bear no interest. I have gathered treasures which bear interest. My fathers gathered treasures of money. I have gathered treasures in souls. My fathers gathered treasures for others. I have gathered treasures for myself. My fathers gathered treasures in this world. I have gathered treasures for the world to come." Both Jesus and the Jewish rabbis were sure that what is selfishly hoarded is lost, but what is generously given away brings treasure in heaven. And so perhaps the best way to store up treasure in heaven is to give generously of the treasures of earth, especially to serve those in need. Case in point, in the days of the terrible Decian persecution in Rome, The Roman authorities broke into a Christian church. Their intentions were to loot the treasures which they believed that the church possessed. The Roman prefect demanded from Laurentius, the deacon, "Show me your treasures at once." Laurentius, pointing at the widows and orphans who were being fed, the sick who were being nursed, and the poor who were being supplied, said, "These are the treasures of the church." This is what it means to store up treasures for ourselves in heaven. The church, I believe, even with all of its foibles and failures, is still the best conduit for storing our treasures in the right place. This is, after all, the house of God. Here we are reminded of who God is and whose we are. Here we are reminded by Scripture and by some of our very, very best interpreters of the Word that all that we have comes from God. Whose is it anyway? God, the first and the last, entrusted to us as stewards for but a short time. Here we find opportunity to put our treasures to work on behalf of a greater good, the greatest good even, in service of others in the name of Jesus Christ. In this particular stewardship season, we have labored to share the good news of the work accomplished here on behalf of heaven, by the treasures that you have decided not to let be consumed or stolen, but instead have invested wisely in the work of the church. As we seek to continue to be wise and faithful stewards of the treasure invested here, our attention has turned specifically to our ministry expansion plan. It has become increasingly clear that the vision of the plan is not achievable without an increase to our annual giving. The leadership of the church is committed to minimizing the impact of a mortgage to our annual operating budget in the most faithful ways possible. But an impact will be made nevertheless. And so the need for each one of us to take even more seriously the call to store our treasures in heaven has never been more true or more pressing. Practically speaking, it is our earnest hope and goal to increase our revenue, our giving, by 10%. This is no small step, we know. But we also believe it is very possible, indeed even probable, because we trust that each and every one of us wants to take seriously the call to store our treasure in the proper place. And we trust that that place is here, Christ Memorial Presbyterian Church, one of those special places where heaven meets earth. Maybe not all of the time, but we hope and pray more often than not. Yes, it is true that our building, even newly renovated and expanded, will over time be consumed and will rust. A quick walk around the church in its current state will prove that to be true. But what will not be consumed, what will not rust, what thieves cannot steal, are the hearts and minds touched by the gospel of Jesus Christ because CMPC is strong and getting stronger. Because the people of this special place will have a facility that does not tap our resources, but instead supports and increases them. Because new brothers and sisters in faith will find this to be a welcoming place. Because hearts and minds cannot be fed if the stomach is empty. Because all will be safe here. Because future generations of missionaries and ministers and teachers and cooks and childcare workers will be able to thrive here, worrying less about moth and rust and thieves. Over and over again, Jesus and others throughout the scriptures encourage and even command that we handle our money carefully, that we give it away generously to the work of the kingdom in this world. And because our God is so immensely generous and practical, we find over and over again that the reason for giving is twofold. Not only is the giving beneficial for the receiver, but it is also beneficial for the giver. In other words, when we give to the work of the kingdom through the church, we both win. Oftentimes, those benefits are intangible, difficult to quantify, and this is especially true for the benefits to the giver. Only you know how you have been blessed by heeding Jesus' call to store your treasures in heaven. However, this is one of those rare times when the benefit to the receiver is very tangible. In other words, within the next few months, we will all begin to see the fruits of our financial labors here. This is one of those times when we will be able to see very clearly the effects of our response to our current challenge. For now and beyond, it will require steps or even perhaps leaps of faith. But soon enough, the rewards of our faithful giving will be seen and touched and felt. Brothers and sisters in Christ, now is the time to store our treasures in heaven. For Jesus says, where our treasures are, there our hearts will be also. And our hearts belong here. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.